federal pay and its costs have become a source of numerous studies and surveys and some heated discussion. Well, are federal workers overpaid? One view comes from the Conservative Heritage Foundation. Joining us is James Shirk, senior policy analyst for labor economics. He's author of a new report, Inflated Federal Pay, How Americans Are Overtaxed to Overpay the Civil Service. But Mr. Shirk is not necessarily advocating cutting or freezing federal pay. He joins us now with details of the report and its recommendations. Good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
So tell us how you did the study, what kinds of data you looked at, and what were your main findings?
Well, the data I used was the same survey that the government uses to calculate the unemployment rate. It's called the Current Population Survey. And every month, the government interviews about 60,000 Americans, ask them how much they're making, how much education they have, whether they're working or not, all sorts of questions like that. And among the questions they ask are, do you work for the federal government or the private sector? And so I took that data on how much people earn each month and expressed it in terms of hourly wages, and was able to determine that once you control for education, skills, experience, all the sorts of things you'd expect to affect wages, that the average federal employee is earning hourly wages of about 22% higher than the a comparable private sector employee. But it's important to note that's the average federal employee. Not all federal employees are getting overpaid. You have some federal employees, especially those who are highly skilled or in highly skilled occupations, who aren't getting any sort of pay premium. And then you have some federal employees who are getting close to a 40 or 50% pay premium. So on average, the taxpayers are overpaying, but that doesn't mean each and every single individual federal worker is getting more than they would get in the private sector.
Because depending on the skill set and depending on where they are in the federal government, it may be a completely different story, which brings me back to the original question, which is it really possible to fairly and accurately compare private and public sector considering all of those X factors that you mentioned?
Well, I think it is. I mean, it's very clear. One of the things we did in our study was compared occupations that exist in both sectors. Obviously, there's a lot of jobs in the federal government that don't exist in the private sector and vice versa. But there's also a lot that overlap. HR managers, accountants, secretaries. There's a lot of occupations that you can make an apples-to-apples comparison. And even in those occupations, we were finding about a 19% pay premium. So when you can make that direct comparison, it's pretty clear that there's still a premium going on. Again, on average, not for every individual worker.
And what are some cases of occupations where there's not a premium?
Well, some of those occupations, they tend to be the more highly skilled ones. So lawyers, economists, physical scientists, civil engineers, registered nurses, all of these occupations, again, on average, you don't see any statistical difference in pay. But something to keep in mind with the federal government is the way it pays, obviously. If you're on the general schedule, your pay is not based very much on your performance. You're getting the same increases across the grade according to your career ladder, and you're getting the same step increases basically for time on the job. So the very top performers who are putting in more than an 8-hour day when they're on the clock are getting the same increases as those who are slacking off and spending half their time watching the World Cup. So the top performers are not getting the same sort of rewards that they should be getting if federal pay was more fairly based. On average, taxpayers are overpaying, but the entire system has problems that need to be addressed.
I want a point of clarification for our audience. When you refer to a pay, like federal sector pay or private sector pay, are you incorporating the benefits and everything else in that, or is it strictly what you see in your paycheck?
Well, it's both. The paycheck is on average 22% higher. Now, it's harder to get the information on the benefits because you can't simply call someone up and ask, hey, how much did your employer spend on your health care and your pension? Most workers don't know that the same way they do what they're getting on their pay stub each week. But there's other sources of data you can take a look at. And when you add those in, you're still looking at a 30 to 40% premium once you add benefits. So adding in benefits makes the disparity grow even larger.
So that 20-some-odd percent doesn't include the benefits?
Does not include.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
We're speaking with James Shirk. He's senior policy analyst in labor economics at the Heritage Foundation, and he's written a study, Inflated Federal Pay, How Americans Are Overtaxed to Overpay the Civil Service. Now, you're not recommending across-the-board cuts or freezes. What is your main recommendation for addressing the disparity, as you see it, between federal and private sector pay?
Well, because not every federal worker is being overpaid, you wouldn't want to cut everyone's pay by, say, 20%. That's not fair to those who are working hard and are performing. What instead you should do is move to a more performance-based pay system, where you've got pay bands set based on the occupation of the region of the country, much broader than the current general schedule bands, with managers having discretion to award raises for good performance and less pay for poor performance. And then you'd set the pay bands based on observable signals of market demand, namely the number of qualified applicants you have per position, and compared to comparable private sector jobs, you know, comparable in terms of skill and experience needed to do them, and then also based on quit rates. What we find is that federal employees are much less likely to leave their jobs voluntarily than private sector employees. And so if you've got, say, a job where you're having 50 applicants for every vacancy and, you know, people almost never quit, well, you know that you're probably overcompensating that pay band. Conversely, if you're having hardly any applicants and people are quitting left, right, and center, you know that you're not paying those employees enough. And in order to get them up to the market rates, you'd want to give them a raise. So use those sorts of signals of what's going on in the market to guide the pay bands. And then within that, allow those hard workers and top performers to get the raises if their performance merits.
Does the current economic climate impact some of your findings at all? And the reason I ask is because one of the examples you just set out was, you know, if you see people who are staying in the job for a long period of time, perhaps they're being overcompensated or they're very happy with their pay. Maybe it's because they're scared to jump ship because of the economy. I'm wondering if that was an X factor for you.
Well, what you do is you'd be comparing it to comparable private sector jobs. So, yes, in the government, you take a look, the quit rates have dropped sharply, but so have they in the private sector. And so you'd want to be making a sort of apples-to-apples comparison. This is a job that, say, requires a master's degree, and you this sort of you know, highly skilled experience in the private sector, and here's what the quit rates are on that. And they're much lower now. You'd want to make sure you were making that sort of a comparable comparison and not simply saying, well, no one's quitting, it's a recession, therefore you're all getting overpaid. It's pretty understandable that in both sectors that people are less likely and less inclined to leave their jobs if they have one.
And just a final question, what happens with the report now? Is it before Congress? Are you sending it to certain members? What do you do with it from here?
We at Heritage were an educational institution, so basically we're trying to get this message out. If the average pay were brought to market rates, that would be about taxpayer savings of about $47 billion a year. So it's something we want to have that fact out there and in the public debate, but it wasn't written for a specific member of Congress.